Section 2. Further reading. Serviceability. Flexural crack control for beams and one-way slabs. Cracking in concrete is generally the result of the following actions. 1. Volumetric change, including that due to drying, shrinkage, creep under sustained load, thermal stresses, and chemical incompatibility of concrete components. 2. Internal or external direct stress due to continuity, reversible load, long time deflection, camber in pre-stressed concrete, or differential movements in structures. And 3. Flexural stress due to bending. Visible cracking is generally initiated by either internal microcracking, volumetric change would usually include this type, or flexural microcracks. Flexural microcracks are surface cracks that are not visible except by careful close investigation and are generally initiated by flexural stress. Once flexural microcracks have formed, a slight increase in flexural load causes these cracks to open up suddenly to measurable widths. An excellent bibliography on cracking is contained in an ACI Committee 224 report. The increasing use of high-strength steels and the accelerated trend towards using the strength method for design have brought concern for control of cracking. Using the strength method with grade 60 steel, the service load stress may be as high as 60% of the yield stress. This may be shown by taking the nominal safety factor as the average overload factor, say 1.55, divided by phi, 0.9. This means that under some service load conditions, the stress in steel may be 50% or more greater than service load stresses that exist in many older structures designed by the working stress method. Because of the compatibility in strain between concrete and steel, the 50% or more increase in steel strain would seem to indicate the same percentage increase in crack width. Furthermore, even at low steel stress levels, say 9,000 psi, or 63 newtons per millimeter squared, flexural microcracking has been found to occur. As larger cracks form, the effects of a corrosive environment may be detrimental to the steel. Such factors as humidity, salt air, alternate wetting and drying, or freezing and thawing may accelerate corrosion and contribute to concrete deterioration in the vicinity of large width cracks. Wide cracks may also be unsightly and contribute to doubt about structural safety. Although cracking cannot be expected to be eliminated, it is generally more desirable to have many fine hair cracks than a few wide cracks. Thus, crack control is a matter of controlling the distribution and size of cracks rather than eliminating them. To control cracking, it is better to use several smaller bars at moderate spacing than larger bars of equivalent area. The objective is therefore one of distributing the reinforcement in the concrete tension zone. Hence the words of the title of ACI 10.6, Distribution of Flexural Reinforcement, which contains the crack control provisions for beams and one-way slabs. Control of cracking is particularly important when reinforcement with a yield stress in excess of 40,000 psi is used, or when reinforcement percentages exceed the amount of reinforcement traditionally used in the working stress method. For the strength method, the comparable percentage is about 0.375 rho b, one half the maximum permitted amount. Good bar arrangement in the cross section will usually lead to adequate crack control, even when grade 60 bars are used. Entirely satisfactory structures have been built, particularly in Europe, using design yield stresses exceeding 80,000 psi, that is 560 newtons per millimeter squared, which is the current specified limit in ACI 9.4. Excessive laboratory studies have verified the generally accepted belief that crack width is proportional to steel stress. Two other significant variables have been found to be the thickness of concrete cover and the area of concrete surrounding each individual reinforcing bar in the zone of maximum tension. The ACI code provisions, ACI 10.6.4, are based on the Gergely-Lutz expression for crack width as follows. W equals C beta H Fs times the third root of DC times A, where, referring to figure 6.3, W equals crack width at the tension face of the beam, inches or millimeters, beta H equals H2 over H1, the ratio of the distances to the working stress neutral axis from the extreme tension fiber and from the centroid of the main tension reinforcement. Fs equals service load stress in the steel, KSI or newtons per millimeter squared. Dc equals thickness of concrete cover measured from the extreme tension fiber to the center of the bar located closest thereto, inches or millimeters. A equals AE over M, effective tension area of concrete surrounding the main tension reinforcing bars and having the same centroid as that reinforcement, divided by the number of bars, square inches or millimeters squared. M equals number of bars. For different sizes, use M equals AS over AB for largest bar. C equals an experimental constant, which is 76 times 10 to the minus 6 square inches per kip for US customary units, or 11.0 times 10 to the minus 6 millimeters squared per newtons for SI units. Equation 6.1 represents the most probable maximum crack width on the bottom face of a beam. Because of considerable scatter expected, even under carefully controlled laboratory conditions, crack width calculations should serve only as a guide to good detailing of bars and not as values to use for comparison with measured cracks in a building that is in service. Consequently, equation 6.1 has been converted into a form in which a simple calculation could be made to arrive at reasonable reinforcing details as indicated by experience and laboratory tests, without actually emphasizing crack width.